Nyathela on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
After 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Clement Manyathela Show. It's great to have you with us here on 702. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, and I hope you're well this morning. So I'm doing the show from London this morning in the United Kingdom following the London Marathon yesterday, which I was so elated about. And why was I so elated about that? It's because I managed to get my personal best for a marathon. So I finished the 42 kilometers in 3 hours, 39 minutes, which is quite crazy. But my watch says I finished at 3 hours, 36 minutes, so I believe my watch more. But it is what it is. I'm really excited about my finish. It was such a thrilling run. I have never seen anything like this in all the marathons that I have run, both locally and internationally, where lots of people are lining up from the start to the finish, where they are screaming, where they are singing, when they are encouraging runners. It was just amazing. And of course, during the run, you get to see pockets of London that you never really get to see as a tourist, right? So, London Marathon is done. We now get ready for the ultimate human race, which is the Comrades Marathon. So, if you ran the London Marathon, how did you find it? How did it go for you? I met two listeners of the show. I've also met other South Africans on the road who now live in London. So if you've run it, if your loved one has run it, let me know how that went for them. 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. You can send us your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
But as always, we start with the 702 open line. Give us a call on 011-883-0702. I'm taking your WhatsApps as well on 072-702-1702. Can I just take time to appreciate people that have prayed for me? Because I was dealing with an injury this past week coming into the London Marathon. In fact, I was feeling so depressed this week because I thought I was not going to be able to run the London Marathon. And this is a big deal for me because the London Marathon is basically one of the 6 largest and most renowned marathons in the world, right? It's very difficult to get into the London Marathon. So once you get in, you really appreciate participating in it. So the possibility that I may not run was quite something else for me, and I did share with you on Tuesday. I think we were talking about running. Remember when we had that coach who was talking to us about endurance and giving us like a 101 on running? And since then, I was nursing the injury with the biokineticist. I don't know what I would do without Tato, really, because she really helped me a lot in recovering the injury. Thank you to all of you that prayed. I've gotten messages from people who did say, "You're in our thoughts. We're praying that your injury can be fine." And I'm happy to say I didn't even feel any pain yesterday during my, not once. And I'm now probably that sometimes we've got these pains because of anxiety and not so much because we are actually injured, but just anxious ahead of a key moment in your life. Let's go to your WhatsApps now. 072-1702.
Hi, Clement. Good morning, and thank you for a lovely show. I am absolutely green with envy. I also wanted to do London this year, but I immersed myself into another project. But I can tell you, I've done Boston, New York, Mauritius, Paris. Nothing like New York. If you really want that exhilarating experience of a crowd that is with you from beginning to end, the beautiful bridges and the display of the different cultures of each of the suburbs that you run through, please go and do New York if you haven't done it yet. It is absolutely amazing. I'd go back there anytime. Thank you. Have a great show. Bye-bye.
That's incredible. I do want to do, I mean, I want to do all of them, right? Boston, Tokyo, York, Berlin. I want to do all of them. I hope that Cape Town Marathon at some point is going to be part of the majors. I think we deserve that. That marathon, it's just as incredible. But yeah, I hope to do New York one day. That's part of the plan. And I can't wait to see the vibe. I have to say, what I experienced here is just incredible. It's just incredible. After the break, we go to your calls on 011-883-0702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Magnatella
on 702.
17 minutes after 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. So in London, it's 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. South Africa is an hour ahead of London, but it is 17 minutes after 9 o'clock. We're taking your calls on the 702 open line on 011-883-0702, taking your WhatsApps as well on 072-702-1702. Did you guys hear that audio of the ANC-NEC meeting that was leaked over the weekend of the President Cyril Ramaphosa talking together with other NEC members about their campaign ahead of elections? If you missed it, listen to what the President said in that meeting last week.
Our brand is well known, it's well recognized, and what we need to do is really to go out amongst our people and motivate them and be present amongst them. And if we can do that, then our campaign can be fired up. But it really depends on our commitment and our ability to go out there and meet our people. There are a number of issues that we need to address. The funding of the campaign is beginning, it's really taking off, it's coming through. And in the, I did say the NWC in the next, this week and so forth, we're going to see a big change. It's been taking its time, but the funding for the campaign is definitely going to be there, and we need to fire it up with boots on the ground. The issue of posters is being resolved. Issue of leaflets. We did say at the NWC that we need to print millions of leaflets and not the whole manifesto book, so that as we do door to door, we are able to leave something in the hands of our people. And this means that we've got to have our boots on the ground. And if we can do that, comrades, this election is ours to win. Much as the doomsayers, you know, these surveys keep saying we're going down. And I'm sure that each one of us, wherever we go, through the length and the breadth of the country, we are finding that our people are responding to us, and in the end, I mean, they realize that the only organization that needs to be supported is ours. Yes, MK Party having scored, you know, what I would say a Pyrrhic victory with the case that the IEC had launched. Yes, a number of areas can be a factor, but we can counter that. We have countered these offsprings, first UDM, and then second COPE, and then EFF. We've countered them before, and it's when we are amongst our people. And
yeah, that's what President Cyril Ramaphosa said during that meeting. And yeah, they've countered the formation of the EFF. They've proceeded to continue as the majority party, the formation of the UDM, of COPE, But the reality also is that these formations have also eaten into the ANC, haven't they? So because of these formations, the ANC didn't get the number of votes it would ordinarily get over the previous years. So even with the formation of the MK, the ANC is definitely going to feel the pinch. But yeah, that's what the president said in his leaked audio, where he says we need more oomph into the election campaigning, and we need more and more NEC members to be involved. Take a listen to Mtumiseni Ntuli, who is the head of elections for the African National Congress, talk about what their plan is ahead of elections.
Now, comrades, the second point on these additional strategic tasks, we need government and all departments to submit to the elections and the NWC on Monday, 15 April. Which projects are you going to launch or unveil between now and the elections? Each department needs to make that information available to us. So that, because within the next 40 days, comrades, we really want to see a highly, highly, highly integrated, seamless integrated between what we're doing on the ground and what government intervention is also taking place to complement our election work. So we need the list of those projects, the dates at which they're going to be launched or unveiled, and together we must then plan at the level at which they're going to take place. How is the ANC going to take advantage of that situation? The third issue is that at some point within the next few weeks, especially in the early days of May, all NEC members will be deployed to go and campaign in KZN for full 7 days. And the reason why we need to go back to KwaZulu-Natal, comrades, the momentum that was created towards the manifesto launch, which to a larger extent, to some extent, has been sustained by the PEC, must be intensified. So we need to go back. The province is big. The province has got so many people who are registered. We need to go back there. And when we go back there for 7 days, in the same way we're going to do in Gauteng leading to Selangor, each NEC member will have to be assigned to a maximum of 2 VDs. So you work on those. If all 87 of us, led by the president, go to KwaZulu-Natal, let me say 80 members of the NEC, NEC members of the Women's League, NEC members of the Veterans League, COSATU, all NECs, if we were to go to KZN and assign each one of us 2 VDs for 7 days, comrades, by that we would have achieved what the province alone can never manage to achieve, which is reaching out to the majority of the VDs where the ANC has the biggest support base and engage with the electorate there. We are armed with the ANC manifesto on that work. We are armed with the voters' role. We know who we're talking to and who we're targeting. And of course, we're armed with a pamphlet that lives beyond the message about when is the elections and people must go out and vote for the ANC.
So that's Mtumiseni Ntuli, who is the ANC's head of elections. What are your thoughts on what you've heard in the audio? Give me a call on 011-883-702 or send me a WhatsApp voice note. A lot of people I see are unhappy about what Mtumiseni said about the projects that government plans to launch. Because what the ANC is basically saying is, we want government departments to submit to the ANC government projects that they will be launching between now and the elections. They want to use that to boost their campaign. Do you think that's the ANC that's not appreciating the separation of the state and the party? In fact, I saw a statement from the ANC earlier on, because they responded to this audio that was leaked, and they released a statement saying the ANC respects the separation of party and state and has a responsibility to monitor its representatives in government and to intervene where appropriate to ensure that its undertakings and commitments to the citizens are not compromised. But in this case, it's not the ANC monitoring its representatives in government. It's not them intervening to ensure that government's undertakings and commitments to the citizens are not compromised. This is the ANC saying, we want to take advantage of government projects. programs that are going to be launched between now and elections. Now, I don't find anything wrong particularly with that. I mean, the DA does it in the Western Cape. I tell you, any political party is always going to use their might, their governance powers, right, to try and boost or demonstrate to the electorate what they are capable of doing. And I think that's fine, because we also, as voters, use government programs, government successes or government failures to also decide how we vote. Don't we do that? We look at Eskom. Some people look at Eskom and say, look at how government has failed to ensure that we have reliable electricity availability, we have reliable electricity supply. And therefore, because of that failure, I'm choosing, I'm not giving my vote to a particular party. Or maybe you look at the Western Cape and you see how government has apportioned particular funding to some of the townships or for the programs that are going to develop townships in the Western Cape. And you say, because of that, I'm not going to vote for the DA in the Western Cape. So I don't particularly find anything wrong with a government that says, look at us. These are the programs that we are going with, that we are launching in government. Let's use those to also show to the people what we are doing because of our presence at the union buildings. What I would be uncomfortable with is a government that intentionally starts programs or starts building hospitals or schools precisely because they want to somehow demonstrate and use that for election campaigning and to boost their electoral outcomes at the elections. Because when you're in government, you're not in government to do well so that people could just vote for you. In government to serve people, right? That's what you do. So I'm a little worried about that, more than just a government that says, just let us know when are you launching things so that we find a way to merge that within our campaigns. But that's my view. You can give me your thoughts on 011-883-0702. What do you think of the ANC's plan to use government programs? But also, what do you think of what seems to be the ANC's plan to go and dominate KwaZulu-Natal in terms of NEC members deployed there on the ground? Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. Let's start with Unati, who is calling us from Centurion. Unati, good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and thank you for the opportunity. Mine is as simple as follows. You vote the people, you vote the political party in government. And what it does in it was not what it does in does not go in government. That's why you punish it. So if the ANC says the programs of government are the programs that should be aligned, because when people are lambasting it for non-delivery, it's based on its work in government. You vote for political party to get in government to make sure that it manages the resources to deliver services to the people. From that perspective, I fully agree. And in fact, if that alignment can coexist in all its work, in all the municipalities, this is what, in fact, this type of democracy that we have allows us to make sure that the organization delivers and it deploys people in government that can do the work. Because if you vote for a political party, get in government and no one takes accountability, then that's where we're getting it wrong.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Unati. Let's go to Moshere. Moshere, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, man. How are you doing?
All right. Clement, let me just quickly on the issue of political party using their might to lure the voters. Clement, it's not only the ANC. Look, I'm staying in Pretoria. DA has not been providing services for quite some time. Now that towards the election, the issue of cutting grass and also removing rubbish, they're starting doing that. And we've been asking questions, why can't we receive these services as seats? It's disappointing. Of course, as citizens, we need service delivery. But for political party to use their position to lure the voters, it's definitely not acceptable. It's happening across all political spectrum, of which is disappointing. Service delivery must be delivered whether the elections are there or not. Clement, it's not what I called for. Clement, I just want to congratulate you on the London Marathon, on your personal best. Definitely, you did very well, because you have been saying that you have been struggling to reach that position where your personal best is 3 hours and something. Definitely, yeah. I would love to congratulate you. And I will want to one day participate in one of these marathons, because I've seen the number of people who are participating. They're doing well. It seems as if the course is very easy, because yes. most of the marathons that I've run in, so you're on the dam, phobians, then I've managed to get the ACD. One would love to one day, if I can get the sponsor, I would love to participate in one of these marathons and really test my endurance and see how best I will do. But definitely, once more, congratulations on your performance.
No, thank you so much, Mashere. I appreciate that. And next time we get a sponsor who wants to send us somewhere to go run another marathon, you'll be on top of the list to take you as one of our listeners, Mashere. Thank you for the call. And thank you for the well wishes and the congratulatory messages. It's 9:32.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 7:02.
It's 23 minutes before 10 o'clock. This is the 7:02 open line. I'm taking your calls on 011-883-0702. WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702. I want to start with some of the SMSs that have come through or texts there via WhatsApp. There is someone, Zukiswa, who says, Clement, you've just re-inspired me so much. Your pace is on fire. I've run 4 of the majors, and London is one of my outstanding ones. I've had to quit marathons for teeth reasons, but your London experience just put a different fire back in my heart. Congratulations there for a great run. Well, thank you very much, Zukiswa, and well done on doing 4 of the majors. That's quite incredible. And then Conrad says, Clement, well done on your finish. According to the TCS London Marathon website, your finish time was 3 hours 39 minutes. Keep up the fitness. That's Conrad there in Alberton. Thank you very much, Conrad. And another one says, Clement, hopefully we can see each other on the 9th of June at Comrades Marathon. Well done on your personal best. That's Ntibariba there on the text line. Thank you so much for the well wishes. Yeah, and I hope to see you on the 9th of June when we do the London Marathon. I have never been this scared in my life for doing anything in a very long time. So I'm really, really anxious about the Comrades Marathon, but I'm also looking forward to it. Let's listen to your WhatsApp voice notes about that leaked audio of the ANC-NEC meeting discussing their election campaigning ahead of elections.
Clement, let's not actually make a storm out of teacup. Eh? There's nothing there. ANC is a governing party. He's not saying actually manipulate. He's saying if there are projects. He's not saying that go and just manipulate. He said if there are projects. I'm not going to vote for them, but I don't see anything wrong. They are the governing party. Actually, the other ones that are governing Western Cape are doing the same. Yeah?
Good day,
I agree Clement. With you.
Listening to Mr. Ntuli, does it mean that the advert by the Department of Transport on 7:02 is that marketing ploy by the ANC to lower voters or to try to show us their achievements in the past 30 years? If so, Clement, don't you think that is the abuse of stored resources? Thanks, David.
Morning, Clement. Happy Monday. Just around that video leak, I don't think there's anything extraordinary about that recording, actually. I really don't. I mean, and I think those are like your normal conversation that the DA and the EFF and the MK parties are having in the corners. So, yeah, it happens that this one was leaked, but nothing extraordinary, actually.
I think in any competition, anyone that has unfair advantage will use it, and the ANC is exactly doing that. But in the bigger scheme of things, it's ethically and morally wrong for them to withhold services, much-needed services, all along, and to be using them as an electioneering tool. It's disgusting, to be honest, actually. And all those people who sat down in that meeting, wow, really? Those are the country's leaders. Yar, man. Anyway, Selailo in Pretoria.
Yeah, but Selailo, in that audio, nowhere are the ANC leaders saying, let's go and manipulate the power that we have in government. Let's withdraw services and only launch certain things before elections. I mean, unless I missed this, but that's not what's in the audio. In the audio, what Mdumisani Ntuli says, as the head of elections, is that, yo, if you have government programs that are going to be launched, for argument's sake, let's say there's a train, like four trains that are going to be launched between Pretoria and Soweto. Mdumisani Ntuli says, let us know as government, let's have synergy between government and the governing party, so that we can boost our election campaign and be able to demonstrate to the voters that, look, we're adding more trains. Look, we are thinking about you and how you can have smooth transportation to your workplace. You can have smooth transportation home after work. That's what I'm understanding that clip to say. What I'm clear on is, don't be mistaken. Any political party is always going to do that. So this is not an ANC thing. It happens in the Western Cape. The difference is you don't have an audio of the DA federal executive meeting where they're talking about how they're going to use government programs in the Western Cape to boost their campaigns. John Steenhuisen talks about how many people flock into the Western Cape. John Steenhuisen talks about how many jobs have been created in the Western Cape. He mentions specific programs in the Western Cape that the Western Cape government is doing. And rightly so, because the whole idea of governing is you need to be able to demonstrate to the people that the power that you've given us, the confidence that you have given us, here's what we have done with that power when we get into government. I don't think there's anything wrong with a political party that uses its might in government to demonstrate what they've been able to do with that power. I honestly do not think that is wrong. The only thing that would be wrong is for an ANC to say, no, don't launch those trains yet. No, don't build those houses yet. Let's wait for 2 years and then we're gonna build them before elections. And I've not seen any evidence that suggests that's what they've done. What you see now is they want to align government programs with, of course, what the political party is doing on the ground. And that's not to say the ANC is perfect, but I think we need to be very, 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 very circumspect when we analyze this thing, so that we don't think it's an ANC thing, it's an EFF thing, it's a DA thing. Any political party, the EFF talks about it as well. Whenever their MMCs are in charge, they're like, we want to show you what we can do. And they'll come back to you during campaigning and say, look at our MMCs in Ekurhuleni. This is what they have been able to do, and therefore, this is what we are capable of doing. Give us your vote again. That's what they will say. I want to read some of the texts that have come through here on 072-702-1702. I've got a message here from Henrich, who says, Clement, and miraculously, there's no load shedding and Eskom breakdowns by the ANC before the elections. What does this imply? It implies that power stations are deliberately damaged to secure maintenance tenders on an ongoing basis by the same people that are benefiting. Listen, Henrich, you're probably right. I don't have any evidence that suggests that is the case, but anything is possible. We are also dealing with a government that has some deployees, not all of them, a government that has some people there who are deployed in state institutions that are capable of doing anything just so that they can benefit financially. So if it means that they must be involved in damaging certain things just so that they can secure tenders to fix those things they've damaged, they can do that. We're dealing here with some deployees who even wanted to benefit when we were facing the most tragic global pandemic. And all they were thinking about is, how do we steal? Right? That's what they were thinking about. Another one says, Clement, I see nothing wrong with what the ANC has done. The party must illustrate what they have achieved to lure voters. It's done all over the democratic world. The DA is doing the same. to show off its deliverables where it rules. Another person says, Clement, as a recipient of service delivery, it doesn't matter how the ANC uses it for elections, as long as I get my ID card or school entrance fast payment from NSFAS. Opposition parties should be the ones putting pressure and showing those inefficiencies. That's a message there from Sipo. Thank you so much for your text on 072-702-1702. Let's go to some calls now. We've got Pinky, who's calling us from Rustenburg. Pinky, good morning.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Clement, I've actually seen, witnessed projects that have already been launched by the different departments. They are circling back to them now and doing bigger launches where they are inviting the community, feeding them, and it's no longer the department's work, it's now ANC work. And they are driving the message of, this is your ANC, this is what we've done for you in 30 years, and we can do more. So it's an actual thing that they're doing, spinning department work as ANC work.
Okay, and how do you think, how does that delay the service delivery on the ground until there's actually time for elections? Or are you saying that they're taking advantage of government work to then link it to the ANC success when they're campaigning on the ground?
Firstly, not only does it delay the service delivery, but it's also a manipulation, right? If I have done, if I'm supposed to build 100 houses, I've built 10, that I've somewhere in the 5 years got you, you know, believing that I'm doing something by launching, and then I come back closer to election and give you a title deed and make a whole event of it to say I've built 10, you can get 50 more if you vote for me again in May. You know, and for me, in some of these things that I've seen, I was shocked to even see how is it ANC linked in any way to the work. It's the department that's presenting houses, that's giving title deeds, and all of these things. Why is the ANC coming into it, right? So it's manipulation. It's the same thing they're doing with the grants. You don't vote for us, the grants are going away. You know, the grants are government initiative. It's not an ANC initiative.
But governments can change. And I'm not suggesting here that if the DA comes in, the social grants are going to be out of the window. In fact, they're still very much part of the DA's policy. What I'm saying is the ANC is a government. So this government is actually run based on the policies of the ANC. The MK party could very well come in, or the Freedom Front Plus, whatever political party, and they say, we don't believe in the system of social grants. That's a possibility.
It is, but there's, I think simplifying it that way misleads people, because there's processes that these things follow, right? Even if, for instance, MK party comes in tomorrow, if they say grants must go away, it actually needs to be presented in council. It needs to be voted on. It's not like MK has the power and will to do that. And it's the compartmentalizing between the two that's the crucial issue. There's a difference between government and the party. The government can be led by that party, but the government and the party are separate.
And that's why the separation of powers, that's so sacrosanct, that's so important. I suppose the point I'm making, Pinky, is I agree with you that it takes time. And one of the things I think we need to do well as media is to explain to South Africans how long some of these processes take. It's very easy if you've got a two-thirds majority, and the ANC used to have that, but things have completely changed, and we're going into the possibility of a coalition government. So any political party that comes and promises to have these drastic economic or, you know, drastic changes to policy, that's going to be very hard, especially because we are entering uncharted territory. Back in the day when the ANC of Mandela, of Thabo Mbeki, where they had two-thirds majority, they didn't have to worry about that, because whatever they propose can pass because of their majority. But things are changing now. Pinky, thank you so much for your contribution, calling us from Rustenburg. Let's listen to your voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. Thabo here from Randfontein. Clement, it is wrong. Don't say it's not wrong. It's wrong, Clement, to use the state resources for your own benefit. If that project or if those projects were meant for people, why didn't happen previous years? Why it happened now during a national election when the ANC, they see that they are under pressure? Why it happened now? Why didn't it happen previous years if it was meant for the people to service the people of South Africa? Why it happened now when there is a national election? It's wrong, Clement, to use the state resources for your own, for their own benefit, the ANC. It's wrong. It's totally wrong. If that services were meant to the people, it should have happened long time ago. If that Nazi Ishawa, it should have meant for the poor who are living on the street. It should have happened long time ago, not now during the election. It shows that those people are campaigning. It's an electioneering. It's nothing else, Clement.
Look, there are instances where you will find that the government probably has deliberately waited until an opportune moment, right? So that, you know, they can take advantage of their government deliverables, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that in some instances you don't have departments that deliberately wait before elections. And in cases where that happens, that is completely wrong. That is completely wrong. But also, you cannot have a government that must now be scared to implement programs because, oh, we're going to be seen to be electioneering. Or government whose programs has been delayed over the years and they are reaching completion now, right, in Jan, or the launch is going to be in Feb, and government, what must they do? Say, oh, no, let's not launch that because that's going to communicate a message that we are launching this because of the elections. Like, what do you want the government to do? They must sit idle. Just sit back, don't launch anything. Premier Kapanyaza Lisufi, do not launch even the Nasi Spani because you are doing that for electioneering. I'm saying this is the nature of politics. Any political party is going to do that. My job and your job is to hold them accountable. In cases where we see that there's evidence that a government department has withheld funding or they've deliberately delayed a project until a month or so before elections, we need to call that out. Whoever is responsible needs to be held accountable. We must put pressure on the ANC to take out that deployee of theirs because they've manipulated government programs in order to boost the ANC campaigns, which affected service delivery on the ground. Then we must question those things. But we cannot have a blanket approach of saying, well, that's what government does. Because it's almost like we're expecting the ANC not to do anything now. They must just sit and just go and campaign, but forget about the work of government. If there's anything they need to launch, they should have launched it 2 years ago. Now, I'm not convinced by that argument. More WhatsApp voice notes.
Clement, what John Staten is asking or alleging, it's exactly the same thing that the DA is doing in the Western Cape. Boasting about what we have achieved as the governing party, there's nothing wrong with it. They need to show the voters what they have done. They need to reflect on that, and there's nothing wrong with that. The DA is doing it in the Western Cape, and she can do it wherever. Because they are not stealing anything. They're just advocating, or they're just reflecting and showing the voters what they've achieved. I know they will not go back and reflect on what they failed to achieve, but they are presenting what they have achieved, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think John need to relax. John is trying very hard because he said he's on the chop. Once the DA decline, he's out of the office. John Pretoria.
Yeah. Motaletale Modiba, you're calling us from Johannesburg. Good morning.
Morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm all right, brother. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, man. Norman, I'm listening to a very interesting discussion that you're having with the listeners now, and I'm just thinking to myself that I think these are the type of discussions that perhaps we should create more space in terms of continuously having this type of discussions and not just elevating them around this particular time, because I think around this time there's a lot of emotions that goes into this, and at times and you make the point to say, if you're going to hold Party X accountable for failures, shouldn't you equally also acknowledge where they're doing well? You can't say, don't claim the successes, but claim all the failures that you have detected. Because I think it's you're correct in that we must contextualize the discussion in terms of there's areas where there's failures, and we must be able to call those out and say, but here, you have not done well. You said you're going to deliver ABCD. You haven't. Here, you said you're going to do 1, 2, 3, 4. You've actually gone beyond, and we think we should continue with that in terms of delivering better. But I feel that it's a conversation that perhaps we should normalize even outside of the election cycle, so that we begin to constructively hold to power those that are in a position of authority at this point in time, you know. But it's a very interesting discussion that you're having, which I think should continue even beyond this cycle.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for also calling with your contribution, Motaletale. Motaletale Modiba is the spokesperson for the Gauteng Provincial Health Department. If you're noticing that voice and you're wondering, I've heard this voice before. Okay, let's go to Rudy now, who's calling us from Sophia Town. Rudy, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you? Good. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. First time I'm speaking to you on air. I physically met you. I'm not sure if you can remember during the Brain of Brains. I'm the one with my son in the wheelchair, and I think we took some pictures at Maponya.
I remember that. I remember that, Rudy. Right. Yeah.
Sorry, Clement, to break the rhythm of the very robust and interesting and necessary discussion on delivery and political parties delivering government programs on the spur.
Yeah.
But I'm calling for something else. I said to your, the recipient of the call there, how is Clement Manyatela able to run the London Marathon and still be at work, run the marathon on Saturday and still be at work on a Monday? That is commendable. How the heck did you do that, Clement Manyatela?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I love this show too much, Rudy.
No, let me tell you what the relevance is. So I do a bit of HR and strategy consulting, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you now, productivity in the workplace is a challenge in many instances, right? And I know we all have got different roles. But I can put my head on the block. If this was somebody that got permission, you know, to do that activity, and with the work, that person would have taken leave on today, or just simply not rock up for work today, simply because I've run a marathon or I had some activity in that. So let me round off to commend you, Clement. You're a son of the soil of Mzansi. Very productive, over and above, loving your show. That is the spirit we need in the workplace.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Rudy. I appreciate that a lot, and I appreciate you. And to be clear, I mean, I don't have employers who say to me, you will be at work on Monday, whether or not you run the London Marathon. In fact, many of these things are proposed. I mean, I'm the one who suggested I would actually love to do my show from London on Monday after the marathon. So that's how it works. And maybe it's because I just love the show too much. I don't know. It's 9 o'clock. It's 7 minutes after 10 o'clock. Dumelang. Welcome to the second hour of the Clement Manyatela Show. Thank you for staying with us here on 702. I appreciate, as always, your calls and your WhatsApps on the 702 open line. Let's listen to some of the WhatsApp voice notes that came through, and then we're going to start that conversation with the Iranian ambassador to South Africa.
Hi, Clement. I think the problem here is strategy is okay, but the problem is they start things now. after the election, after we finish to vote them in, they don't finish that things that they did start. RDPs that they did start with last elections, even now are not finished. And then I don't think they will get finished again, because they wait until the election is where they want to do something. They forget about what the one that they did start first. They don't finish that one, they start the other one. Thank you.
Hi, Clement. I think this leaked ANC audio clip is hilarious. It's got nothing in it juicy like the things you would expect from something that's leaked, like election rigging or anything like that. Instead, I'd actually reclassify it as leaked intentionally to get a bit of free advertising. And unfortunately, 702's fallen for it hook, line, and sinker.
Good morning, Clement. Yes, I agree with you that there's probably nothing wrong with showing or saying whatever you have done as a governing party. But just like the DA is doing, that is now said by the leader of the DA, John Steenhuisen. So I think it will be wrong only if the government officials themselves are talking about those projects while also campaigning. So if it's done by the political party, I think it's just fair that they reflect on what they did or the gains that they have made during their governing period.
Morning, Clement. Pat here from Spayview. This is not surprising. The leak is not surprising. This has been happening before, even previous elections. Whether DA is using that strategy, ANC has been doing the same thing before. We used to see grass cutting, potholes being filled, and lots of other things during election campaigning. So it is not a surprise, or it's not new at all.
Good morning, Clement. Yeah, you media people, sometimes we contradict ourselves sometimes. You used to tell us that this so-called well-crafted constitution is governing our democracy. No, Clement. What about separation of powers then, if you say the ANC is right to do that? Huh? Ah, come on, guys. No, now you make us to be as suspicious, guys. You are campaigning for ANC. End of story.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that coming. Okay, sure. So now we're campaigning for the ANC. Yeah? The other days we are decampaigning the ANC, so today we're campaigning for them. Oh, okay. Anyway, have you seen, we're going to start our conversation now with the Iranian ambassador. But the breaking news this morning is that the KwaZulu-Natal High Court in Durban has now dismissed with costs the ANC's application against the Umkhonto weSizwe party over its logo. This is the second defeat for the ANC in its legal battles with the former president's MK party. And as I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, the ANC has given the MK party free advertising. You want to talk about people who are decampaigning themselves? That's the ANC, I think. It's 11 minutes now after 10 o'clock.